When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Everyone has an opinion, but he's got the Von Hessler Doctrine. Eric Von Hessler on WSB.
Live from Sherwood Forest, Hour 1, the radio hour of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins now. I am the aforementioned Eric Von Hessler. You are listening to the fastest growing radio show in America. The Doctrinaires, well, some of them are here. Man of a thousand voices.
That funny fella, Tim.
Tim Andrews is here.
Hello.
She's always adorable, always entertaining. Autumn Fisher is with us.
What's up, guys?
Thank you for providing that. The handsomest,
Happy Monday.
The handsomest producer in all of producery is, you know, between you and me, I think he's sleeping off an ecstasy hangover. That's a...
Hey.
Now, those are mere allegations. But I'm just putting two and two together and coming up with 3.5 to 5, somewhere in the middle. He was at, what is it called, the Imagine
Music Festival?
Music Festival, yeah. Yeah, and that's all. That's EDM. What does EDM stand for? This is English Nick, who's, by the way...
Easy Dames, man.
Easy Dames music?
Yeah.
No, it stands for Ecstasy Days Matter.
Yes.
That's English Nick's voice right there. He is from our sister station, The River, and he'll be filling in for Jared Yamamoto today, a doctrinaire at large and always on our podcast hour. So, English Nick, EDM stands for Electronic...
Dance
Music. And that's what he did. He said he had to take Monday off. You'd say, Eric... Is the festival still going on? No. The festival ended yesterday, but he said, I'm camping at this festival, so I'm going to need Monday off.
To shower.
Although he assures me, he assures me that he spends all weekend long watching these EDM shows absolutely sober.
He needs Monday to build up the serotonin in his brain.
That's what I'm thinking, but these are just allegations.
This takes more than a day.
What I want is, does it take more than
a couple weeks?
Yeah. Well, hopefully he'll be able to function again by tomorrow.
Sure.
Let me tell you something. When the music you're listening to is that crappy, you need drugs to enjoy it. Let's do this.
Headlines for Monday, September 25th.
It must be like, it's like you sit there, you watch one band, and they're like, and then the other band comes on, and it's like, they give them a different name. So, you know, you need
The term band is really the wrong term. It's just one dude or girl.
I respect them, though. I tell you, they take home all the money, right?
Yeah.
Because I always like Rush and ZZ Top. They split the money three ways, so it goes a long way. Mm-hmm. You see those bands like Madness, where there's like 14 people on stage, and two of them are just standing around. You're never going to get rich in that. Anyway, English Nick, I understand it was a pretty big controversial day.
It was a very controversial day in week three of the NFL season, and Donald Trump continues his criticism of the NFL after a day of player protest yesterday.
This got out of hand yesterday. First, let's go back. Sometimes my job is more difficult when I have so many opinions about something. I don't know where to begin. But I would tell you this. It is to me as if the players all got together and they had a meeting and they said, hey, let's kill the goose that keeps laying the golden eggs. Mm-hmm. Let's do everything we can. I don't know whether they realize it or not, but they're killing the sport that is making them millionaires. Let's go back to Trump. Now, he was in Alabama. He was there for Luther Strange, this guy Luther Strange, who is in a big battle with another Republican.
Roy Moore,
who seems more Trump-like, but Trump has decided to go with Luther Strange. So at that rally, he decides to bring up the NFL kneeling thing that's been going on.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now, out, he's fired. He's fired!
Now, so yesterday, it went from, I think last week, there were maybe 8 to 10 players. I don't know the number, but it was a handful of players when you put it next to the number of people who play every week in the NFL. Now, I don't even know what this protest yesterday was about. Was it actually about injustice, or were they protesting Trump.
It was a reaction to Trump,
I think. It was a reaction to Trump, so it's very difficult to even know what the... But, I mean, it was all over the league, and it is ruining football. I can tell you this. I love football. Strangely enough, in the South, I love pro football more than college football. But I love college football. I enjoy... If it's high school level, there are two teams that are... parody. I can watch a great football game at any level. I love football. Let me tell you this. Before all of this got going, and we had this last week over the top, I was beginning to wonder morally if it's right to still be a fan of the sport. The stuff that's coming back on brain damage, it's almost 100%. Now, that wasn't going to be enough to stop me because I'm not that good of a person. But it was already in my head because a 22-year-old's going to take $35 million because he doesn't think he's ever going to be 50 years old. It never occurs to you at that age. And so already, and I guarantee you, the NFL is in enough trouble because as this evidence unfolds about brain injuries, fourth graders and fifth graders are going to be in soccer. They're not going to be, parents are not going to be pushing their children into a sport that keeps coming back at 90 percentile brain damage. And we don't know where it starts. We don't know if it starts in the high school level. You can't even find it until a player's dead. So it's very difficult to know. So I'm already from that area. I think the NFL is in trouble, but that's a 10 or 15 year problem when suddenly you don't have good players coming out of high school and coming out of college. Now you put this on top of it. I think my family, we have my two sons come over. It's a big deal for us. We've been cursed with being Buffalo Bills fans, and we love the Atlanta Falcons.
Good day for us yesterday.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Yes, it was. And so we have the big screen up. We have the secondary screen. We have food. We have snacks. The family gets
tradition.
Together. And yesterday, before the game, because it's what's happening now is anytime I'm watching pregame, when they bring up the national anthem, I turn away. I go to the other pregame. If they're talking about it, I go somewhere else for 10 or 15 minutes. I come back. This annoys me. They didn't used to show the national anthem. Like maybe the first week of the year, they would show the national anthems. But for the most part, we didn't sit and watch national anthems for every game that we saw in the NFL.
Well, it was an outgrowth from 9/11 and unity and everybody
coming
together.
But even 9/11, they would show it the first game of the year. But for the most part, we didn't see the national anthems in every stadium. But now, it's news. So they actually, I was watching before the Bills game, and they said, we'll be right back with the national anthem. This is like news. And so my family's gathered around. I turn it away. They all start yelling. I'm like, I don't want to look at it.
Did you watch the Fox pre-show yesterday where they talked about it?
I turned it away.
Terry and the boys talked about Trump and everything.
I'm telling you, as soon as it comes up, I turn it away. I don't want to see it. I'm not interested in it. And so my sons and my wife started hectoring me, so I put it back on, and I covered my eyes. I'm sitting in my man cave with
cotton
my family.
In your ears.
I could hear the song.
Yeah.
I covered my eyes, and my family's like, I don't want to see it. You know, the Bills are coming to town next week, so we're going to go. And I was like, what am I going to do? And I figured out what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure that I'm at the concession stand, and I will stand there. I don't want to look at it. I'm not interested in what people who are basically 25-year-old millionaires. Mm-hmm. I'm just not interested. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday. It wasn't just the Pittsburgh Steelers, actually. I believe it was who did the Titans play? The Titans beat the Seahawks. I think neither of them came out for the national anthem. The Steelers didn't come out for the national anthem. Who's the one player who stood out there?
He's ex-military, though, isn't he?
Ex-military player. That guy's going to be the most popular person in the NFL now. Villanueva. He's going to be the most popular person in the NFL. Let me tell you something. To me, I'm looking at this, and it's happening all over again. If the economy doesn't collapse, Trump will get reelected. This is a situation like what you saw in the primaries and the other things going on, where I'm going to tell you that probably something near 100% of people in media and Hollywood will be on the side of the players.
Oh, they already are all over social media
because they've been infected with the sociology departments. But at the same time, 75% or more of average Americans are insulted by this. And I believe they should be insulted by this. And I don't think that the NFL, they've got their hands up, they're acting like, well, it's free speech. It's not free speech. You, I don't have absolute free speech. I've got a microphone in front of me. I've got a governing body called the FCC. I have employers called Cox Media Group. We have advertisers. There are a lot of things once you step on somebody else's stage. Mm-hmm. And Jerry Jones is actually absolutely correct on this. That is not, that football field is nothing but a stage for you to perform on.
So you're saying it's a plantation for the...
Yeah. Jerry Jones very rightly says, I own that stage. And you don't have a right to take that. You have a right in your personal life to do whatever. And this idea of people not even coming out of the locker room, the NFL can surely do something about that. Let me tell you about something called NASCAR, okay? When if you are not, as a driver, if you don't show up for driver introductions, no matter where you qualified, you go to the back of the field to start the race. That's how they make sure that Dale Earnhardt Jr. is there to wave to the crowd before every race, because you're not willing. So if the NFL is going to wrestle with, should we tell players they can't kneel or do these things, this thing, they absolutely have a right to tell players where they have to be at what time before the game. It's a further question as to whether you can tell them what to do. I would say absolutely. You have a First Amendment right to free speech in this country, but no one, no matter how much talent they have, has a right to be in the NFL. The NFL has the right to choose, and they do it all the time. They choose some players, they send other players home. Now, that's based on skill, but it's the NFL's stage, and they better get control of this. They had better. Here's the other thing. When you go to the actual protesting itself, this isn't about protesting anything. This is general protest. We don't like the way things are right now. Well, how does it end? None of these players has told us what they want to end this. Are we supposed to believe that on some magical date in the future, every NFL player will wake up and decide, okay, this country is now good enough for me. It's good enough for me now to show respect for it. You know, if you go on a hunger strike because you want somebody released from jail, it may be futile, but at least we know what it would take to get you to start eating again.
Yeah, there's an end game.
Yeah, there's no end game here. Yeah. They haven't even made a list of demands. So this is just the inmates running the asylum. The NFL better get it under control, and it's happening again. And the press, they're all against Trump. The people, 75% will be on Trump's side. More when we return. I feel like I was a little louder there because I'm still all worked up about the whole NFL thing over the weekend.
But you were talking about NASCAR and how they issued a statement saying, you know, if our drivers don't stand up, they'll be on a bus.
Drivers, crew, anybody. Richard Petty said it. Richard Childress. All the Richards are in.
Well, two things happened. The media and the people who think of NASCAR as nothing but white rednecks, you got Soledad O'Brien on Twitter saying, well, here's NASCAR, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then Jemele Hill from ESPN says, but that Confederate flag is welcome anytime.
That, by the way, is not true.
No,
NFL got outlawed the Confederate flag 3 or 4 seasons ago, and it took a lot of courage for them to do that because an awful lot of their people still wanted. It was a fixture on the infield.
Well, then Donald Trump tweeted in support of NASCAR's statement, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. writes, all Americans are granted rights to peaceful protest. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable, JFK.
Oh, so he's against it.
Yeah, he's against the president.
Okay, well, I mean, look. But
I mean,
he's allowed to be, but here's the thing. That's not on NASCAR's time.
Right.
I guarantee you he's still going to stand for the national anthem next week, and because I think he recognizes that he works for a governing body, and they decide these sort of things. You know, it's really, this is why Trump, as I'm saying to the media, you don't even realize you're setting it all in motion again. Mm-hmm. You know how much the media hate Donald Trump. They're setting it all in motion again because they're all going to agree with the players, and I guarantee you, this is how the independents fall toward Trump. I guarantee you that 75% of the American people are on that side, on Trump's side. And this thing with NASCAR points out that we are getting to a situation now where respecting the flag and standing for the national anthem somehow means you're a racist?
That's the implication that was made.
How did we get to that? And that's not something that's going to sit well with most of the electorate when they go in and because they don't want to be called racist at work, so maybe they don't want to They don't want to stand up at work. And so, and again, and they'll see Donald Trump is speaking for them. Now, whether the president should have said it the way that he said it, or whether the president should weigh in on current events like this, is a whole different issue. We know that this president does. And as far as getting reelected, whether you think it's good for the country or not, he did a smart thing to get reelected, because he seems like the lone voice in the establishment, whether he likes it or not, or his fans like it or not. When you're president, you're the establishment. And he seems like the lone voice that will speak out that way. For me, you know, yesterday, yeah, before the, I'm having an argument with my sons. This is not the football that I enjoy. I want to get away. It's like when I go to rock concerts. I don't want to hear what they have to. I'm leaving. I'm trying to get away from the world and the noise for 2 hours. I want to get lost. Does that make me? And this is what I said to my kids, because they weren't arguing. They would stand, but they were arguing for the right to do that. I just said, look, if respecting the flag and the national anthem makes me an old, unenlightened.
Get it right.
Old fogey.
White.
Yeah, whatever. Then I am guilty as charged. You think that everybody who stands for the national anthem thinks everything's great in this country?
Not at all.
I think taxes are too high. I got a lot of gripes with this country. First you stand and you salute, and then... and then you get redressed for your grievance. That's how it's done in the sane world. All right, English Nick, thank you very much.
Thank you.
For stepping in. We have WTF. WTF with Autumn Fisher when we return. Welcome back. I'm Eric Von Hessler. This is the Von Hessler Doctrine. The other voices you hear are the doctrinaires. Before we get to WTF, very quickly, one more thing on this NFL business yesterday. You know, the Alejandro Villanueva, I'm sure I'm saying it wrong. Villanueva, former Army Ranger with the Steelers, refused to stay in the locker room, came out to the front of the tunnel, put his hand over his heart during the national anthem. Now, here's a problem, because it seems to me Mike Tomlin, the coach of the Steelers, who I've always thought of as just an unbelievably strong stand-up guy, his whole concept was, if we can't figure out what we're all going to do out there, then we'll stay in the locker room. I think he was silly to think that people wouldn't take that as disrespect. We're not going to go out there until we all decide what we're going to do as a team. So because they couldn't decide in their meetings what to do, he said, well, we're just going to stay in the locker room. In his mind, depoliticizing the whole thing. We'll just remove ourselves from it. But this guy's a former Army Ranger, and he decided, I have to go out there, and that's what I'm going to do. You know, this guy has free speech as well. Well, the problem is after, okay, here's Tomlin explaining it.
With football players, with football coaches, we're not...
I'm sorry, this is the wrong one.
And I asked those guys to discuss it, and whatever they discussed, that, you know, we have 100% participation or we do nothing. They discussed it for an appropriate length of time. They couldn't come to an understanding, so they chose to remove themselves from it.
Then the next question, you can hardly hear the question, is about this
Alejandro.
This player who decided to go out and salute the flag, basically. And I am really disappointed with Mike Tomlin's answer here.
Alejandro was okay. He came out. He was out of the tunnel because of that.
Like I said, I was looking for 100% participation.
Mike Tomlin expects this former Army Ranger to have a stronger allegiance to the football team that he plays for than the flag he used to fight under. That's out of bounds, as far as I'm concerned. How can you ask a person to, you know, I love this company, but I love the country more than this company. If some collectivist took over and said, you got to go on there and espouse communism, I would say, no, I'm not going to do that, and I would not come to work. You know, the idea that Mike Tomlin expects his players to have more allegiance to his football team than to the country that they play in is absolutely out of line. Okay, we've talked about this long enough. I suppose you can't talk about it enough on this day. But oh, another thing. I'm sorry, Autumn.
Come on.
I know. another thing is, this is how bad this is for football. This is all anybody's talking about today, when the product the NFL put on the field yesterday was the best in quite a long time. You had many games that came down to the last play. You had Giants-Eagles. Lions Falcons.
Oh, that heartbreaking ending if you're a Lions fan.
If you're a Lions fan, a great ending if you're a Falcons fan. But I mean, that's what NFL football is all about. Nobody's talking about it. There was another one I think that came down to the last play. That's
Green Bay and the Bengals.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers
coming back.
Absolutely. That was probably the best week of the product of NFL football in quite some time, going back to last season. And nobody's talking about it. That can't be good for the NFL. All right, let's do this.
What the?
Seriously, what the?
WTF with Autumn Fisher.
Thank you.
There you go. For Autumn, you mixed two things there that she doesn't like politics and she doesn't like sports.
I took a knee during that segment.
Thank you. But you were protesting me, not your country.
Yes, not the flag,
yes.
America.
Yes, go ahead.
KB Holmes / CEO's bonus. After he went on a very vicious rant against Kathy Griffin.
Oh, I wish I would have pulled up this audio from last week, but I don't have it.
I should have warned you.
You should have warned me.
Should have warned you. So Where's Jared? He's doing a bad job.
He's relaxing. He's got an ecstasy hangover. He has to sleep it off after that big EDM weekend of his. So KB Homes is one of the biggest home builders in America.
A high-end home building company.
The CEO, last week, I guess Kathy Griffin called the cops on some party he was having for his kids or grandkids or something.
It was kind of ridiculous on her end. There were little kids playing in the pool, and I think it was 9 p.m., God forbid, and she called the police.
I think there's an NFL analogy here, because this guy's the CEO, and so what they do, they took away his bonus structure because he was caught, and I guess there was some homophobic, I guess, slurs on there.
Not
horrible, but, you know. I mean, he didn't really go off. He just used some terms that people used to use all the time that they don't use anymore.
Sure.
So
that they use in England as to call your friends. So.
Yeah. So this guy, is the CEO of this company, and the board decided because this got out that he could be stripped of his bonus structure. But the NFL supposedly has no ability to control their players. This guy loses his bonus structure for things that he said. Doesn't he have a right to free speech?
No, I don't think he does.
Okay, Kathy Griffin, are you happy about this?
I'm very happy because finally in this country, in this horrible, ridiculous country that we're in,
yes,
that you know, white man has lost some money. God forbid that a white man should lose a little bit money in this world.
You go off on white people a lot. You in fact, yourself.
I've been held down culturally and in my career.
You seem very white to me. You seem almost like translucently white to me. I don't understand.
Neither here nor there. Listen, he's a white man, and like I said, I've been oppressed by white people and white men specifically my whole life.
So you're
especially like that Jerry Seinfeld. He really had me under his thumb for a long time. He's like, I did you a big favor for being on my show, but I was like, big deal. I could have made it on my own. I didn't need your help. So this is another example of a white guy getting whatever on me. So, and listen, I make the line in this world, okay? And I drew the line, and then I went over the line because people think it's funny, right? So not you, white man, but maybe like my gays, they love it.
What about white gays? Are they good? Are they cool?
Are they technically white? If they're
Republican gays, I'm wary about, but I'm still going to invite them into my house. But if you're like a white guy and a Republican, then there's just no way. I'm going to call the police on you at 6 p.m. for your loud kids.
I gotcha. Do you even know that the guy next door is a Republican? Maybe he's not.
I just assume because he's a white guy. I mean, come on.
Yeah, so you can make assumptions like that. All right, well.
Is he a man?
Yes.
Is he white?
Yes.
Okay, then he's probably a Republican, which is like the worst kind of Republican you'd be.
If you're an old black lady
and you go to church and you don't like the gays, then it's like you kind of get a pass with me because you're black. But otherwise, no.
You've been so oppressed by white men that you're worth like $20 million and you're living next door to the CEO of the biggest home builder in America. It seems like you're doing all right.
But it's all relative, okay? Because maybe without this horrible oppression of this world as a woman by these white men, maybe I would be worth like $25
million.
Or even 30.
It just seems to me like $20 million is pretty good.
Well, it's not when you're wishing that you could buy even more things.
It's these people are saying.
And now that I shave my head, I need lots of beautiful long wigs.
So there's a lot of people saying like the NFL, they're acting like a plant, or the NASCAR is acting like a plantation, or the NFL would be.
Well, that's not surprising. Think about who they are. They're like the NASCAR, like a bunch of white weirdo racists.
Yeah, right. Well, they actually are racers. So there is race.
No, I didn't
involved.
Say racers.
There's race involved.
They probably don't even know
deny.
Who I am, which is even more of an insult.
I simply can't deny that there is some race involved in NASCAR. You cannot get around that. So I have to give. I have to give on that one. But you know, it just seems to me. I think that there's when people say the NFL is like a plantation. If they tell players that they can't do this, I in my mind I think, wow, there's one slight difference. In that slaves were never given $1 million contracts. Yeah. I know that's not, maybe to some people, not a huge difference, but I think that's what makes it not a plantation. That would be my idea.
I get your point, but again, you're holding down another white girl in this room, which is Autumn Fisher, who's trying to do WTF.
Okay.
You keep talking about sports. Who cares?
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you.
She's speaking up for you as a white woman.
She is. I was a little bit, I thought she was a little silly for calling the police, but they probably were being really loud and annoying.
Yeah, you guys are a new alliance. So you should go after me. Okay.
I'm going to call the police on my own children sometimes.
Hey, these white children are driving me crazy. Can you come do something about it?
White husband of mine is oppressing me.
And your husband is white. He's about as white as they get. He is chalky white. All right, so let's... is he able to grow facial hair?
Oh, yeah. That's hair that comes in a little patchy. Yeah,
little patches. Her husband's one of these guys who his hair went white like when he was a kid.
Yeah,
he's like Phil Donahue.
Yeah,
salt and pepper.
Oh, that guy who won American Idol that was supposed to be so great in his career.
Taylor Hicks.
Yeah, where's he now? Yep. So that's her husband looks like that. And so when the hair comes out on his face, is it, what is it, red? Or what was his hair supposed to be?
It was a beautiful auburn brown.
And when did it go white on him? The day he was born?
I think he was the day he was born. He was shot.
Well, I mean, he could be a towhead, I guess, just stay that way.
No. I think, he had dark hair his whole life. And then I think when he was 17 or 16 or something young.
They say sometimes a shock can happen to you.
Yeah.
And then your
when
hair
When I first
turns
started
white.
Dating him, one of my best friends was like, did he ever go through any trauma?
Yeah. That's a possibility. Because I know Taylor Hicks did.
He did?
Yeah, when he found out that he was nothing more than a lounge singer.
Whoa! I think you made
a shout out, boom! Hey, is anybody else making Taylor Hicks jokes in 2017? I don't think so. That's what makes this show special. Just one of the things. All right, we're limited on time because you went rambling on about the NFL.
So try
to squeeze in one more story.
There's a new study that men with a particular type of face shape is more likely to cheat, which is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Where did you get your science degree from, Autumn Fisher?
From the world. Living in the world.
Okay, do I have the type of face? Because I've never cheated
probably
on my life.
Probably look at you.
What is the face? Is it boxy or is it
It's eggy? Higher cheekbones and like
so wider.
Wider at the top and narrower at the bottom, which is so dumb, okay? The reason why dudes cheat is because either they're young and trying to figure out how to behave in relationships, or they had like a poor role model for relationships growing up.
Hold on. You're forgetting one major reason, and I think it would be the major reason.
What?
This is a family show.
They're dudes?
They're dudes. They're always.
You're a dude?
Let's put it this way. I don't want to use the H word because I think this is a family show. They're always excited. Let's just say that they get more excited more often than the average female. I'm sorry if that makes me misogynist. That I've pointed out that there's a difference between men and women.
How
send
dare
your
you?
Cards and letters to Pete Spriggs, care of WSB Radio.
I don't like to be reminded of truths.
Yes, it bothers people sometimes, but there are differences, and one of
there
the differences,
are no difference. Is between men and women.
I like when
zero.
People, I like when like
little girls like to play with trucks and fight
zero
each other, and they wrestle around.
You see, a lot of the audience,
all little boys love dollies.
A lot of our audience doesn't know that you're being sarcastic. I'll get letters. Why does that Autumn Fisher on thinking these sort of things? And sometimes I don't get sarcasm, but that's all right.
# sarcastic AF.
Yeah, you gotta let them know that was sarcasm. All right. That music says we're going to come back very soon for the final segment of the morning. You know, another thing on that NFL business yesterday. So not only did you have people in this country all over kneeling but whatever. But it was the week that they had the game in London. And the Jaguars were over there. Who are the Jaguars? They beat the
Ravens.
The Ravens just beat them up like 44 to nothing or something. I don't know what the exact final score was. But, you know, they send the Jacksonville over there every year. I think that if they have an expansion team, that would be the London team.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, because they're almost like a home team when they go
over.
We
love the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yes. They're great. They're named after our famous car.
That's exactly correct. It works out. It works out. So, over there, the players knelt during the national anthem, and then they stood during God Save the Queen.
God Save the Queen, man.
Now, can you imagine? Can you imagine that you would, if someone would tell George Washington, hey, you know what, in like 246 years, millionaires, people who make millions of dollars in this country, are going to go disrespect the American flag in London, but stand for their national anthem, which praises royalty.
Mm-hmm.
I think, he would understand if he saw what was happening today.
I think what he would say, just fold up the tent. Let's do a dictatorship. People can't police themselves.
I'll be your king.
Yeah, it would make him go, maybe I should become the king.
Right.
If people are so, it's just not something that he could ever imagine was going to happen. Anyway, I wanted to get one more WTF story in there, but I think we're out of time. But
still being oppressed.
Yes. Uh-huh. The headline was, the longer you sleep, the longer your life, the longer you live. Which means, enjoy me while you can, people. Because I ain't going to be around long. Because I don't get much sleep. All right, that was the radio hour of the Von Hessler Doctrine. You know what we do here is we go over and we do a podcast hour. And you can follow us to that podcast hour, WSB Radio app, the Von Hessler Doctrine. You find the 24/7 live stream. And bada boom, 7 minutes after the hour, we start the podcast hour. But that was the radio hour of the Von Hessler Doctrine. The expanded new news. Chris Camp, you're not on today, huh? What are you doing?
No, I was at the EDM festival with Jared. I was supposed to be a chaperone, but things went a little sideways.
So you need a little time to recover.
I'll drink a little water today.
Okay. The expanded new news with the great Sabrina Cupid is coming up next.
Eric Von Hessler on WSB.
Almost live from Sherwood Forest. Hour 2, the podcast hour of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins now. I'm Eric, and I'm still here. He's Tim, and he's still here.
Yep.
He's English Nick, and he's still here. She's Autumn Fisher. She's turned off her boobs, and she's still here. I say that because in between the radio hour and the podcast hour every day, she, being a recently pregnant woman who still breastfeeds, has to pump her breast.
Pump some boobs.
I find it to be disgusting. I pull out my headphones and she's talking and you're getting and it's just like, and for some reason in my Autumn says she hears "Let's Go."
Do you want to hear it?
No, it's disgusting.
Here, I hear
red rum. I hear red rum.
Let's let the audience decide.
Let's hear it.
Yeah,
I'll turn it up a little bit.
Here, I'll do the long one. Hold on. See, that's the first stage where they just like prime you, and then later it goes harder. So watch.
Slows down.
Red rum.
Because it's working.
Red rum. She hears "Let's Go."
Let go. Let go.
Oh, let go.
What about getting a galvanized pail and just...
Yeah.
That noise would be nice.
That is disgusting. It's lucky that we have so many sort of feminist... in the world today, because they would never allow me to be thrown off the air for hearing a woman milk herself, which in the old days, in the 70s, you absolutely could not do on radio.
You want to hear me?
Well, you wouldn't have heard it. It would have be like a hand pump, or maybe they didn't have that at all.
Oh, no. Yeah, they had to go to the town square, and they had one pump available for all pregnant
women. Let's milk her.
I did recently. I was out with a friend away from Pete for a couple hours.
Yeah.
And so like Travis put him to bed. And so I missed like maybe two feedings.
Yeah.
So I was pretty engorged. So at this place where we were, I had to go into a public bathroom and squeeze.
Oh.
Oh, you didn't take the pump with you.
No, because I would have to plug it in. I mean, I would have nowhere to do it. And so I just had to like express myself in the bathroom.
Aren't you
and,
afraid?
Like, little drips got on the floor. Oh, and so I realized, like, you know, sometimes you see little drips on the floor, you always think it's pee. But, you know, maybe
Maybe
if you're
it's
in
not.
A women's bathroom, it might be a little breast milk.
Yeah. Well, if you're in a women's bathroom, that shouldn't be on the floor
anyway.
There
shouldn't anyway. Be drops of pee on yeah. the floor.
Whatever no, it is, women, I'm picking women, it up.
I don't know where you're hanging out, honey.
No, but, women drip on the floor. You
all
know
right,
why?
Disgusting. This is disgusting stuff.
Let me just tell you, women are gross because they're so afraid for their bodies. It's not even anything that would be bad. Their bodies to touch the seat.
They hover.
So they hover. And so they pee all over the seat.
All right.
And then they pee everywhere.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
Stop. Just, you know.
You know, if
when I'm in there, I say it out loud. I'm like, thanks, ladies. Peeing on the seat. All this right. is why I'm
stop
in the ladies'
stop saying
room.
That. It's grossing me out.
Oh, you're so
it's
afraid
like being in the
of
bathroom at Lakewood.
I'm not. I'm afraid of all bodies. It's not just ladies. I'm afraid of. I'm not afraid. I'm disgusted by human beings. I'm absolutely disgusted.
I feel like you're more disgusted by women because I can barely say period without you having.
That's disgusting. Hey, just because you women decide that you're going to have that once a month doesn't mean I have to acknowledge it or hear about it.
It is a condition. You're right.
Yes.
Well, I'm clean.
She's hysterical.
Remove her. Give her a hysterectomy.
Yes. Get it out of there so that she'll be reasonable. But then
you know that's
problem
where
is
that comes from.
They get they get reasonable when you get rid of that.
They turn into men.
Yeah, they also grow a mustache. Well, so, you know.
I'm cleaner than most women. Kind of,
and they get really into bowling and golf.
Yeah, yeah. They get husky.
How
ladies
doing?
Get husky. And they got
I'm going to go out and do some yard work.
Stronger
honey.
Handshake.
But when I come in, I want you ready for me on
but
the bed.
They are less hysterical and are more reasonable with their mustaches.
Why?
And handshakes.
Whenever I've had the occasion.
By the way, that's going to be the name of today's show, Mustaches and Handshakes. Mm-hmm. Somebody, somebody write that down because I'll forget.
Write it down. Whenever I have the occasion to use a woman's restroom.
When have you had that occasion?
Well, if you're in a bar and
you know what they say about a Rush concert. Like, no women like
oh,
Rush.
Oh, no. Nobody's so you just, at the woman's
just,
trough.
You just walk right into
no one's at the woman's trough at Lakewood.
There's there's a
you guys don't have a trough in the woman's bathroom at Lakewood?
How would they do that?
I don't know. I'm just thinking.
Hey,
just
you
don't.
Can do it.
Yeah.
No. I've dated libertarian women who like Rush.
Okay, but they're very few.
Yeah.
But at a Rush concert.
And they have a really strong handshake.
They're not hysterical. At a Rush concert, the line for the men's bathroom is always minutes long.
Sausage City.
And then there's like, you just walk right into the women's bathroom. So sometimes guys will just go in there at a Rush concert.
Well, not only did she like Rush, her name was Dagmar. I mean, you can't get more libertarian than that.
You dated a libertarian named Dagmar.
Dagmar. Right.
Why do you say that's a libertarian name?
Well, isn't Dagmar a character in an Ayn Rand novel?
No, it's Dagny, I think. You're talking about
right.
Atlas Shrugged.
Yeah, Dagny.
You're talking about Dabney Coleman.
No, he's not. He had a mustache and a firm handshake, though.
My issue's a bait magazine.
What are you going to say there, English
anyway,
Nick?
I always, if,
even
I, go,
though
if I do go in to use a woman's bathroom.
Yeah.
Number two things I have to happen.
Number
either
one.
The seat is up, number one. And number one, if I do happen to spill some on the seat, I always wipe it off with the toilet tissue.
You know, I'm always good about that.
Because I don't want the woman to sit in it. But I didn't know women didn't wipe it off when they made a mess.
I'm always good about cleaning up after myself in any public bathroom.
Yeah.
I'm not going to leave that behind. You know, grab it, you get a little tissue, you clean it up. What's wrong with that? Not you. Of course not. You look at it as a badge of honor if you wreck the bathroom. Yes. I know how you are.
Been there, done that, Tim Andrews.
You want equality? You got it.
Get in there and clean. Hey, you know what? Somebody gets paid to clean this joint, and I'm giving him job security.
Correct.
Or her. Janitors don't have to be hims. They could be hers, or zers, or z's, or da's. There should be a da. Da.
Da, 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 da.
Da, 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 da.
I was pointing at you when the show started like I
band?
Always do.
Yeah.
I always point at you and say when the
you're always pointing
happening.
At me.
He's got the Von Hesse Doctrine.
Yeah.
He's Eric. And
it's
I realized that we're not on Facebook Live
we're not
right
on Facebook
because
Live.
Because of technical difficulties.
So and I just told people, well, you hear us on the live stream.
Oh, okay. Hear us,
And then they'll hear it on the podcast as well. Way more people. Well, I mean, we have, what, 100 or something?
At least.
On the Facebook Live? But, I mean, we have thousands upon thousands in the audio medium. But
I did see one of our Facebook Live videos.
If you're listening in and wondering where the... Oh, here comes Jesse.
There we are.
Oh, boy, we might get...
Just 1,000 people watched one of the shows from last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
I still see that as a small audience. Yeah. I know Autumn thinks that's fantastic.
You're a small audience.
Is it on now?
You're a towel.
We're on Facebook Live now.
Yes. Well, are we on?
We're on.
We're on.
You only missed, like, what?
We're here.
There was a great, one of my favorite SCTV bits that have...
Thanks, Jesse.
Why am I blanking on the guy's name? He was in American Pie and the SCTV.
Oh,
guy.
Eugene Levy.
Eugene Levy. He was the talk show host, and the name of the show was You're On.
And then when he went to phones, he'd go, "You're on, you're on." I don't know why. Jim from Lancaster, "You're on, you're on."
Facebook Live missed the first 6.5-7 minutes of the show.
Yeah, we probably lost most people. You know how people are with the internet. Yeah, there's just like it's a, you know what it's become.
Let's recreate it, because I mean everything we do is scripted. So.
Yeah, it's true. Let's, you want to go back to page one?
Do you want me to start the show?
All right, boobs, milk.
Hey, do you want the intro again?
No, I'm not gonna do it. Whenever I do this, though, just I always.
Think, it's just Mr. Snurdly.
Mr. Snurdly. I have when I urinate all over a toilet seat, I clean it.
Hey, I will not have that. I will not have that.
You see what's happening now? This show is lowering the level of Tim Andrews impersonations of some of our favorite broadcasters.
Keep it up there high, pal. Keep it up there high.
Why do women pee all over the
show? Stop it. I'm not going to have it.
Eric Erickson likes to lower the toilet
that's
seat.
Right,
so now you got me doing Eric Erickson talking about
which
toilet.
Which is a horrible,
horrible.
I do a horrible Eric.
I do a great English, Nick.
Yeah, you do, because that's not real. You've never even been to England.
No. I do Keith Richards like that. I'm pretty good at Keith Richards.
All right, Mr. Snurdly, did you happen to catch the Tim and Shani B experiment live on YouTube Saturday night at 6? That was funny.
I didn't see it. I hear it went well.
It did.
You're the one who told me.
Yeah, it went great.
I heard it went great.
Yes.
You guys are doing a different thing, because unlike this, where we just, like a day like today, J-Rad is...
in recovery mode.
In recovery after the EDM festival over the weekend, so he's not here. And so we don't... So we have a one shot on the Facebook Live. There's nobody here to have, you know, different...
To zoom in on different players.
But this Tim and Shani B experiment now, you're really pushing the visual. This is a television show on the internet,
yes,
right? And you're exploiting the visual stuff. You do the Clutch Cargo stuff. This is what I hear from people who have seen it, which is you.
It's actually
told me.
we have like a split screen. There's a lot of production. Shani B puts a ton.
Shani
of production.
Shani B is great. You guys are in a, like, is it a padded cell?
Yes.
Yeah. No, which I think is very cool. Now, let me ask you something, because I haven't tuned in yet, but I will. I'm fascinated by it. When I watch it, is it going to have that type of thing where there's like kind of like that CGI fuzziness around your head or something because of the padded cell thing behind you? Or does it just look like you're in a room with a padded cell?
You sometimes will see the, depending on the lighting, you will see a little bit of the green screen behind
you. Got to change that lighting.
But we fixed it.
Okay. That's what Shani B is great
at. Tighter.
I'm leaving Shani B alone. I want him to perfect it, and then I'm going to steal him for this show.
Okay.
Then we're going to have our own little background.
Fair enough.
Is that fine? He won't take a Monday off to recover from an EDM festival.
Shani B takes no days off.
No, he's a professional producer.
He's a pro. He's not going to have a weekend at an EDM festival and decide.
So I'm young.
Hey, do that music, that EDM music, Autumn. You're pretty good at it. And then in all these songs, it's suddenly...
I'm waiting for I made the beat drop for you. Go.
It's suddenly... okay, you know the beat drop? Okay, do it again.
Everybody stand at attention.
Somebody always comes in with some public service announcement.
Do not urinate on the seat.
But my thing is, then, I know I sound like my grandparents here, right? I mean, because they used to think all rock and roll sounds alike, because to them, all they heard was the backbeat.
Yeah.
And they used to say, you know, if you go downstairs, you can play a bunch of different bands, and it's going to sound the same downstairs because the percussion is basically very much the same in all of it. So I remember hearing people say that about rock and roll, and I'm an old guy now. But to me, it really does seem that, I mean, how much difference can there be between one EDM guy,
I think there's probably gal. Sonically there's some difference, probably.
Like some people go woo 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 woo, and some people go. Blah, 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 blah.
I don't think there's any difference. It's all terrible.
It's all terrible to us.
You know, with the right amount of certain things in your bloodstream.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all good.
I was watching. Okay.
Are you pumping now?
Are you pumping?
She's wanting to do that, but like that.
I thought she was pumping.
That was a good one.
I know. We talked all over it. Do it again.
Everybody pump your boobs.
Again with the language.
I said boobs.
You think I have to get rid of this? You think that she's just not fit for professional?
It's so ridiculous.
I've got some homework for Oldham to do.
I think she's pen up all weekend.
Oldham,
then,
you need to record a EDM track where the main rhythm is the breast pump.
Yeah.
And then you build tracks around it.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
some lyrics.
And you call it.
I'll do it with GarageBand.
Oh, you call it the mommy mix. Yeah. Just go out and find something that's already famous.
Yeah.
And then you put that in and you just call it whatever it is,
like
mommy
a baby
mix.
Sound.
DJ Baby Mama.
Yeah, no, no,
with the mommy mix.
Not a whole new thing. Something that's a hit in the EDM circles.
Slot that in there.
She puts that on top of it. It's just called the mommy mix. I'll bet you you could actually get some traction off of that.
EDM
I would guess.
Music.
Yeah, anyway, so, there you go.
Anyway, yeah. That came to a dead end, right?
Anyway.
Kind of stop
well,
right
now I'm looking up EDM music.
Well, no, you don't have to do it right
homework.
Now.
Homework. Homework.
This is for
I
you to
do. I want
to
do it.
And that's not what Travis says.
Oh, poor Travis.
Poor Travis.
Why poor Ethan?
How long has it been? How long has it been now?
Come on.
Oh, it hasn't been that long now. Well,
What's not that long for basically a newlywed? They've been together for 6 years or something, 7.
We're not newlywed.
Well, I don't know. You're not oldlywed. I'm oldlywed.
It's more about the post-pregnancy stuff, right? It's more about after the baby comes.
Yeah, like, you know what I call that? What? Excuses. That's what I call that. I call that excuses to not satisfy your husband.
I could lay there.
Yeah. Well, sometimes.
You know, I could do it.
Hey, you know what? I've often said
it's just
this.
Not very enjoyable for, I mean, he, you know.
I know, but he'll get through it.
I don't want to fake my, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying, like, I don't want to feign interest. That feels...
Sure.
So we're going to wait a year and a half or 2 years till you can find interest?
We don't care if you're feigning interest.
Maybe not.
There's other ways to satisfy your husband
there's that.
But
you have to have interest. You have to have interest.
I don't have to have interest.
Yes, you do.
Not for what Nick is talking about.
Well, I mean, otherwise it'd be happening all the time.
Well, I just feel like I'm doing so much for Pete constantly. He's always attached to me in some way.
Yeah.
And then Ellie is also very, you know, she's
yeah, you
three,
want
to,
you,
so.
You don't want anybody touching you after that.
I don't want to I don't want to deal with anybody else's needs.
Wow.
That's why you have to kind of get your own needs, and then you're not dealing with somebody else's needs.
And that and I am working on that. So I did go out on Friday night.
Are you reading Playboys at night?
No. I'm trying to create more of a balance personally, right?
Yes.
I always talk about plants, right? So
plants.
I have my own plant, my inner plant. Travis has a plant. Our relationship has a plant.
What the hell is she talking about?
This is
the
thing I thought
crap.
Of. What's that? No, it's not. No, it's my own idea. So you have to like water each plant, which means taking care of each other, taking care of yourself, taking care of the relationship.
Yeah.
So me, there's not a lot of watering going on my own plant. You know, like I'm not doing a lot of things solely for myself. And that's what I've talked about before, where I don't have a lot of autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
So
your plant has gone limp.
My plant has gone. It's watered, but it's not getting as much as it needs. So I am working on that. So I went out on Friday night and Pete is getting to a place where he can drink a bottle of milk and he's getting more like solid as a being
Were you out long enough for Travis to put him to bed and have some Travis time?
Yeah, at least.
Yes.
Okay, good.
At least. At least find some women who enjoy relations.
Yeah.
Oh, please. Listen,
they must exist. I hear about them.
We've talked about, like, Jared's friend has an issue, has an issue with her husband or his wife or whatever having alone time with himself. Like, I have no problem. Go for it.
No, you see that as like your hell, like, thank goodness.
That's a relief.
Yeah.
It's like you would actually pay somebody to come in and do that if it weren't for the internet.
Listen, if somebody saw me struggling, like if I was moving an apartment by myself and someone came and said, listen, I'll move that apartment for you.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
You pay him to do it.
Yeah. Hang out.
Yeah. So I think that's
I'm not going to turn that down.
Yeah.
But that might be better for your marriage.
So, but what could happen with her husband, though?
Person to come in with your
he
husband.
Might think, now, if I go off with another gal, that's cheating.
Mm-hmm.
But what if I go off with another guy? Is that really cheating?
No.
Because that's not.
It's just sex.
It's just right. Yeah. Right. Nobody could argue that I'm cheating because my
Grecian
wife is a girl.
Well, actually, it may not be cheating, but you might just be gay if you did that.
Well, no, because it's just out of.
It's totally different.
Really? It's totally different.
You got options now, though. You have the transsexual prostitutes.
Yeah.
You go see them. You get the best of both worlds. It's not cheating.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's true.
That's a little.
If they
much.
Just show you their top half,
right?
Then it's
well, there's
the
no
same.
Point
I mean,
going if you're not.
Well,
seeing
why wouldn't
half.
You? What are you going to just stay on one side of the buffet?
Oh, yeah. I was okay. Well, we can't talk about like, this show. Like, we can't talk about anything on this show. No, I don't want to keep going.
No, what I'm saying. Well, look how I'm saying. I throw an analogy. So, what Tim is talking about, that's like sexually, that's like you get to a buffet. You can get chickpeas. You can get.
I'm cheating on my diet today.
You can get corn. And, you know, then you have all kinds of toppings you can put on. And you'd be silly to go to a buffet. Mm-hmm. And just get salad and
French iceberg.
Why would you stand at the salad bar alone?
Yeah, exactly. Know? Now, if you're there at the buffet, you might as well, you know, get different things from different parts.
And you want to end up with some really good dessert, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah. See, this well, is all, this is all I'm Travis, asking for. This is all I'm asking for.
A well-rounded, balanced buffet.
What I'm saying on the podcast, the radio show, analogies are fine.
Well, I've always said that Travis has... His butt.
A frigid wife. Is that what you say with Travis?
Is really nice. Is really beautiful, I think.
Yes, yeah.
But I can't appreciate it like maybe a gay man would.
But you
and
say
so that, I always think like, oh man, you're missing out. Like,
but you say that you can't appreciate it, but you just told us that you appreciate it.
Yeah, but not in the way that a gay man would.
No,
a gay
sure,
man might be
know.
Like, yes.
Look,
nah, she's seen the movies. She, okay. She knows, believe me.
There's certain parts of the butt that a gay guy.
All right.
Oh, I don't mean that.
It's gonna
I
find don't more beautiful mean than that. You.
Aesthetically, just like a pair of boobs, right?
Yes.
Like you might yeah. be very
all
much more interested.
Right.
I can
we're
say that they're beautiful.
The WSB aegis here.
You
no,
can
we
say,
don't.
All right, breasts.
Fire those sons of bitches.
Okay. We can say that. WSB.
Fire him.
Fire.
I can look at someone's chest and say they're very beautiful, but you're going to have a different reaction to them, and that's what
right.
I'm saying. His buttocks.
Not now. As I get older, I'm become more and more disgusted by the human body, no matter what it is. Because I just recognize that they're all farting all the time. You can't get around it.
We're just
meat space.
Yeah. I mean, you just can't get around it. It's just like, you know... It's just people are disgusting, and they're always doing disgusting things. And you see like a beautiful woman, and now and this never used to occur to me, but now all I think is you know, she's just farting all the time.
You know,
like
I was at
else.
My local La Fonda in Candler Park last night, and mm-hmm. We sat in eight,
yeah.
and I was paying for my food at the counter, and this couple were getting to go food, you know,
yeah.
and they have bags of it, and I'm thinking, oh man.
Yeah.
You guys, and the guy couldn't get out the door
yeah.
fast enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you're going to gorge
the exhaust,
on that. And then
the exhaust.
And then a couple hours later, it's all going to just come.
You're just going to create exhaust. And it's just awful.
Disgusting.
It's just terrible. I mean, I don't know. Who was it I saw was saying that? It's Greg. Greg Russ said that when
he's not good with all that.
I don't have a problem with stealing material from Greg Russ because
yeah.
no one would know who he was.
He's never going to use it.
It weren't for me.
He's never going to use
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he's going to sit in that apartment yeah. and. You know, Greg Russ will be found alone.
You think?
I don't know. You know, whether it's next year or 40 years from now, Greg Russ is going to be found alone in his apartment. And they go, okay, well, there's that life.
His Percocet dealer will be calling the police.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah, I haven't seen him. Like, so he was saying that when he goes into really fine dining establishments, and it's probably more for his work because he does these video sort of long form commercials,
and it's on the company's check, so he's more likely to go spend their money.
Well, no, but he's probably like shooting something.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And but these in New York and well, Atlanta, everywhere now, but they have these really famous chefs, and what you'll find is their food when it comes to you, it's like a work of art, right? It's all sculpted, and,
yeah.
And Greg is like. He looks at that and just thinks, that's just going to be number two in a few hours. It doesn't
it
matter.
Is.
It all comes out looking the same, you know?
So yeah, but you can enjoy the presentation while you eat it.
What? You really? What's that worth? How many more dollars on top
you're
of
talking
the...
talking to a fish and chip man.
The, yeah,
care.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I'm the same way.
As long as it tastes good.
Give me greasy food.
Food is an art.
Yeah, is it?
Yes.
I mean, as soon as you eat it, you know, it's gone. Even without the gross part at the end. I mean, it doesn't take much.
It goes in classical art, comes out modern art.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
We went to a strip club once, and that's what Greg told me he thought of the whole time as well.
You went to a strip club with Greg Russ.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine Greg Russ in a strip
Tim
club.
And Tim Rhodes.
Well, there you go.
Oh, he was probably all over it. Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
go put a dollar in her pants.
I think Tim listens to our show. He's a good guy.
He is. Anytime I make
a joke about him, he texts me or emails me and says, hey, we have a problem. Not a problem. I'm just making jokes.
He's back in that business again now anyway.
Is that what he does?
I think he works down at the Cheetah.
Does he still do a podcast?
A
he does a podcast.
He does a podcast, but it's not very – I don't see it very often.
Yeah.
But he is DJing, I believe, at the Cheetah.
I don't have any problem with Tim Rhodes.
I want to go to the Cheetah.
Why?
Well, come to China.
You don't even really want to go sleep with your husband, but you want to go to the
terrible.
Cheetah. Hold on. Why
the
do you?
The cheetah is terrible.
Hold on.
And it's not about because it's not about
sex. Not Yelp.
It's not about sex.
This is not Yelp.
How is the cheetah terrible?
Hold on. This is not Yelp.
It's not terrible.
What I want to know is
their French fries are horrible.
First of all,
their sushi's bad.
All strip clubs are horrible, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. But what I want to know from you is why you have zero interest in satisfying the man that you exchanged vows with not 7 years ago. But
hey, we know she satisfied him at least twice in her life.
Yes. No. It started off like hot and heavy, believe me. And because I left a camera in their room. They have no idea. So I can tell you, I can attest to the fact that it was very hot and heavy.
I like that one.
Oh, yeah. I love his buttocks.
Micro. Those micro cameras.
Oh, yes.
Where's
Jared?
Travis's tush.
You should have been Jared on Sunday. He was all jacked up on the stuff. You never know.
Was he in his sexy tank top?
I bet he was.
Oh, my.
American flag on it. You like that, huh?
No.
Patriotic.
When you get done with this, I got to tell you about a photograph I saw from Imagine Festival this week.
Okay, so you have zero interest in satisfying the needs of your lawfully wedded husband, but...
and his perfect tush.
But you want to go to a strip club. And then you say to me, strip clubs aren't about sex. Would you please explain what in the hell you're talking about?
Well, they can be about great sushi and French fries, like we were saying.
Yeah,
that's right.
As long as the sushi's good.
But
I want to do some business deals at the Cheetah.
Why do you like... you think it's a good place to clear your head?
Yes.
What, I mean, well, is there a zen to this? I don't understand.
No, it's just interesting.
What's interesting? Because when I go into a strip club,
It's almost like when you talked about prepubescent Eric finding a Playboy.
Yeah.
And looking at it and
not
being
knowing
very
why.
Interested in it. But nothing was happening to you in a sexual way, and that's how I feel. Like,
I think she's not. She's lying to herself. I think she's not. She's not.
Right.
No,
she's
if
not
you're
accepting,
drunk, and if you get a little drunk, then you think,
blame it on the alcohol.
No, then it's like a little bit more exciting.
Right?
But I'm not like, you know, it's a different
so
thing
that,
than
that,
dudes.
That
I mean,
weird night that Tim Andrews and I had 10 years ago, we were both drunk, so it doesn't count, right?
It wasn't sexual.
And that's fine.
Wasn't sexual at all.
It's about friendship.
I mean, if you walked in on it, you'd think it might have something to do with sex, but it really didn't. Not at all. It was the alcohol. It was rum, I believe.
The rum, and then why don't we express ourselves in a way we never had before?
We started talking about it.
It'll bring you closer.
Yeah.
No, it didn't bring us closer.
No, actually, we avoided each other for 8 years after it. But
so mortifying.
That was the impetus of the whole thing.
Yes.
See, strip clubs to me aren't entertaining unless you focus on the fact that, you know, maybe they need to do this because they don't have any other options.
And then you get the power trip going.
Oh, a little more
money.
See,
for me, I asked them, like, what is that lotion you're wearing?
Oh. I become an anthropologist.
Is that Victoria's Secret? It smells really good.
The moment I walk in.
Oh, yeah, it's on sale! Like, giving me a lap dance.
The moment I walk in, I'm an anthropologist, and all I'm thinking about is the backstory. I guess it's not an anthropologist, but I'm looking at it as like, you know, like, why, what do the parents think? And, you know, this is all the stuff that's going through my head. Because I have had fun in strip clubs, but when I'm with a bunch of friends and we would have had fun any bar
we went
to. It's
a party atmosphere.
Exactly. And but for me personally, I don't find them, and I stopped doing them when it was a period at I think it was at Rock 100.5. We were forced to do something, and I just went to the program director afterward. This is when I was still on speaking terms with the program director, and because it was very early on in going there, and I said, look, I'm just not going to do strip club stuff anymore.
You mean appearances and stuff at them?
Appearances. Yeah. I'm not interested.
I go there enough on my free time. I don't.
Yeah.
I'm burnt out.
And
on
I know that he probably thought, oh, his wife is. No, my wife is like, you should go do things like that more often. But when you're on the radio and you go to a strip club, you become like, we got a surprise for you. And then you find yourself in a chair in front of everybody. And. These women.
And the strippers like to abuse you.
Yeah,
at that
they're
point.
Like coming.
Oh, yeah. It's
they're
their
like,
revenge.
They're whipping their legs around. Their high heels are like a half an inch from your nose as it goes by. And it's not something that I find. I am not going to get excited in front of a crowd of people. That's never going to happen.
Did it used to happen when you were younger?
No. No. I've always been a private person when it comes to that stuff.
I know that.
I get freaked out. Yeah. You know, anytime. There have been a couple of times. You know, my wife and I were young at one time. And there have been a couple of times, you know, when you go out with couples and things like that, where it almost kind of sort of feels like there's some sort of suggestion of let's go, you know, do more. And I immediately just my blood runs cold.
Check, please.
It doesn't matter how beautiful. It's just like I cannot. That's not a crowd situation in
You're
my
creeped
mind.
Out by that. That
I'm
thought.
Completely yeah. creeped out.
That's why you like my free cams. It's just the girl and you.
What is that URL? I don't know that.
Myfreecams.com.
That's another thing. I'm not giving money to anybody who I know. Look, my level of excitement necessary to get on through with that and get on with my day.
To break on through to the other side.
Yeah, I don't need it to go that far. So why would I spend money to have somebody pretend for X number of minutes that they give a damn about me?
Sure.
I could never suspend disbelief. You know, when you go into any kind of entertainment, you're sitting there, you paid whatever for a movie. You know, if you go at noon on Wednesday, it's $8. If you go at 8 o'clock at night, it's $23 or something. Whatever you spend to go see a movie, you have to suspend disbelief. You know that's Robert De Niro. You've read all kinds of stories about him. But you have to suspend that disbelief, and he's Jake, and he's a trucker or whatever.
Yeah.
And you have to –
yeah,
you have to,
Colin,
yeah.
Colin,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. If it's De Niro at this point, he's just phoning in another role.
I actually find myself suspending disbelief that he was ever a good actor these days because his roles are so bad.
Oh, no, he's just phoning him in.
I know he was a great actor, and I love his great movies, but now it's – oh.
Anyway. No, you have to tell young kids, go watch Raging Bull. Go watch Taxi Driver. Understand why this guy's famous.
Because
the stuff he does now is just horrible.
Nah.
So, literally phones him in.
I don't like the president.
So I can't suspend disbelief in pornography. I can't think for not even pornography, like you were saying, like cams or something. Like I can't suspend the disbelief that this person's into me. They're
well,
not
here
into
you,
me.
You can give them a tip, and then you can turn on your camera, and they'll watch you.
Why? No. See, then we're going public.
Well, then you're interacting.
Yeah. And then that goes on the Wi-Fi.
There's
my
no
neighbor,
face. There's no face.
I got some neighbor who taps in probably to my Wi-Fi. Yeah. Oh, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, Eric's on my free cams again.
I've never seen him without his clothes on, but I know he was wearing that shirt yesterday.
Actually, at that point, it shouldn't be called My Free Cams anymore because you're spending money.
Well, it's My Free Cams.
Until freemium.
But then you pay. Now, this is all.
But what do you get without? This is all
research. Do you get
research
like a minute free or anything?
No, you can watch live shows on there for free. Women will just do their thing.
What is the point?
And then it's you and 300 other guys.
Yeah, no thanks. No thanks.
That sounded like an EDM song.
I'm not doing that sound again.
Yeah.
This is WSB.
Yeah, that's right. Look what you've done. Yeah, look.
Downstairs DJ.
Downstairs DJ. I like that term for ladies taking care of things.
All right, you don't like My Free Cams? There's Chatterbait.
What? That just sounds bad.
I know. I just wanted to say
that. The word bait in any sexual connotation sounds bad.
Well, you can bait chat or...
What's about
I got free worms in the bait.
What about the... are they still around where they pretend? And you know it has to be pretend because, like, the van is going around. And
oh, the bang thing.
Well, they still do that crap.
We'll give you $100. And then the whole thing is they don't pay her and they knock her out of the van. And ha, ha, ha. First of all, any man who enjoys that, I don't want to go in business with. I don't want to be a part of that. But on top of it, that anybody would actually buy into it, that there's this van going around. I would assume with the same license plate, Los Angeles or wherever this is,
Florida.
And no one ever calls the police. They're never shut down. Yeah,
hey,
okay.
Where's my money?
I'm not going.
I guess I'll just catch the bus.
Yeah.
The English version now is the London cabbie who picks up ladies who are into
that kind of thing.
Yeah. So
but does he pay him or is there humiliation at the end?
No, I think... Everything goes, I think, in the London cabbie thing.
Hello, darling.
Yeah.
You know it's fake because the cabbie's white.
Take me to Kensington for gestation, please.
Oh, I'll take you on the long route, right, Taylor. Yeah.
I would take you for a ride in the cab.
Have you seen it? London is Uber's lost its right to work in London.
I know. But, I because mean, they got, of this, they were 12, doing too many sex cabs.
They got 12 days to appeal.
Oh, it's like an Uber, but it was illegal.
Hey, could you somehow you got to be able to work Chunnel into a punchline here.
You want to go to France? We'll take the Chunnel.
Who banned it? The mayor?
No, I think that
it's somebody that looked into Uber, and because of what
big labor body.
With,
same thing. Yeah. They had trouble in New York City, and basically, there's a whole racket going on there where certain people get power and money by deciding who becomes a taxi cab driver and what you have to do. And Uber comes in, and that kind of democracy. Now, I don't know the ins and outs of how they went into London, if they did it.
A lot of it's to do with the stuff that's been going on with Uber, though, with their lack of security checks and stuff like that.
Well, but I don't know. Are more people assaulted in Uber than in taxis? I mean, I'm sure it's happened in taxis. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe.
I wouldn't drive. I wouldn't do that.
The taxi cab drivers are definitely licensed in London.
I guess with Uber, it's millennials, and they're like the softest people alive. So it's probably. But I never want to drive a taxi. If I drove a taxi, that see-through plastic. That would be bulletproof, or
it
I would
bulletproof.
Oh, okay, I'm not dealing with it at all. And also, money up front. That's the only thing where you actually get all of the thing. They don't let you eat your hamburger and then pay for it. It's like, okay, you want me to take it from here to there? Give me the money.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Cab drivers.
Yeah, but a hamburger, you have to eat it first and then you pay.
No, you pay.
No, you order at McDonald's.
Well, I guess if you're sitting down.
Oh, restaurant. Yeah.
If you're sitting
it's
down.
The same thing. You're sitting at a table.
I'm thinking of like
at
a counter. I'm thinking of a counter. It's like
Uber, you pay.
Plus you can walk
when
away.
You order
the
it.
Idea about sitting down is you're there for a long time, and it's kind of hard
you're
to sneak
sitting
out.
Sitting in a cab.
Although I did a couple of times when I was a kid, when I was 13, 14, a complete hooligan, and me and my buddy.
Reprobate.
Me and a couple of my buddies, we would get into Piccadilly
buffet,
and we would, you know, well, Piccadilly's a, you know, like a not really, it's an all you can eat kind of thing.
Yeah, there's one over on one off of Howell Mill.
Yeah. So this is, I don't know, 1977 or 78, and we would get in, we would eat, we'd order all this stuff. I don't know if you order or went and got stuff, right? I guess that's the thing, is because you're not ordering, you're not really making eye contact with anybody, and
you're just helping yourself to the buffet.
And somehow you get the check, though. I can't remember how it's done. I haven't been there in a long time. So, but when it was over, we had the scam where I would go up, like my buddy would somehow get outside, and then as I got in line, so I would be in line, my buddy would be outside, because you're kids, so they let you leave because they assume there's a parent around. And as I'm in line, then my buddy would come back up and say, "Hey, Mom wants us right now." And then I would go, "Okay." And we would just...
Wow.
We ate there a few times
the
like that.
The Great Piccadilly Scam. I've heard of this.
Yes, the Great Piccadilly Scam of 1977.
Lifetime movie
about
it, yeah.
Yes. So I'm guilty. I'm guilty as charged.
You guys had a whole plan worked out going in. That's crazy.
Yeah, we didn't improvise. We were like little criminals.
In college, we would call the pizza place that closed at midnight, call them around 11:30 and order a sheet pizza.
Yeah.
26, 36 slices, whatever. Get half something that nobody would ever want and never go pick it up. And they would throw it away, and then around 1 o'clock, you'd go down to the dumpster, and you had the pizza right there in the box. The whole thing. And you could eat for 3 or 4 days.
You're disgusting.
A couple of cockroaches inside.
I love
that. No.
Absolutely disgusting.
It was delicious. It was
That's
free.
That's being smart.
Yeah.
That's being smart?
Being frugal is what it is.
Yes.
That's being disgusting is what it is.
Well, what's the difference? It's sitting. Hey, this is like George Costanza where he sees that eclair on top of the trash.
Yes.
Is it technically trash? It hasn't been touched, sitting right on top of everything.
Once it goes into that bin.
It's done.
That's it? Yeah. It crosses the plane of the bin?
Yeah. This is the problem. That's I have. Okay. I had this argument with my family. So we do these single coffee things. We don't do the little... The stuff
you
that kills.
Guys are killing the.
No, we're not. No, we're not. We have a. We just fill it up. We have a.
You have a Keurig, but you reuse it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clark Howard's always talking about.
Yeah.
Doing
I mean,
that.
We have a. It's a. I'm trying to.
It's a reusable.
One of those mesh
pods.
Filters.
Yeah.
It's no, they're not pods. It's a reusable.
Well, it's a mesh pod.
It's a mesh filter.
That you put.
It's
into
just
the Keurig.
Smaller, and so you do one at a time, but you put the coffee in. So when you know, nobody. Cleans it out after the coffee. It's when you come back for your next coffee.
You have to do it.
You have to do it. So when you pull the grounds up, and my family will bang it against the side of the trash bag.
That's dirty.
Inside the trash. And like, don't do that. It's disgusting.
Everybody does that.
No, I don't. I pull it above it. I'm like a woman in the ladies' room. I hover and boom with my hand. And I'm not going to put it down in there and clang it against the trash can.
Well, it's not going to get dirty.
It's disgusting.
That way. Then you rinse it out.
No, I rinse it out anyway. But I don't want. Why do I want to
rinse it out? I mean, come on,
Dr. Joe. It's disgusting to me.
No, because whatever you're throwing in the trash can prior to that may brush the side of the trash can.
Oh, somebody's can't hold.
I have my nose, and I'm going to get snotty.
You have your nose.
I have my nose that I get.
Take my nose, please.
I have my nose.
These people can't handle their body functions. You know, I'm the only one.
You're pretty good.
You and I are. You know, yeah.
I tell you what, I took Claritin D over the weekend for some sinus, and that Claritin D, I guess because it dries up your sinuses.
Yeah.
It also makes you pee all the time.
This is like the theme of this show.
Pee all the time.
Bathrooms and functions.
What do we call it? Mustaches and what you were going to call it?
I am, he wrote it down, I am, and handshakes, mustaches and handshakes. Stop doing
she's
that.
Pumping. Oh, no, she's writing her new EDM hit, Eric.
That's what I mean. Like, you know, Autumn, it doesn't matter. I know what it is. Mustaches and handshakes. Autumn has to pump her breast milk out.
And God knows what else.
This guy has to go to the bathroom or do something with his sinuses every 30 minutes. I'm the only one who is built to be able to do a half an hour to an hour show.
I can right? do it.
Like, David Letterman can't 30 minutes into his show when he was doing it. Let's say Stephen Colbert.
They had a commercial break.
You can't run and do much in a commercial
break. No, hang on.
Break.
They record that show in advance. So it wasn't in real time anyway, right?
It wasn't in real time, but if you go, they do it live to tape.
Right. But you're so much more taller than us.
You're so much great grammar there. So much
I was realizing as it was coming out that it was wrong and I couldn't stop it.
He could go behind the curtain and, you know, do a snot rocket and come back on the stage.
Remember the Snot Rockets? Great punk band.
They were good.
Great punk band.
Oh, like authority. But they move faster, though. When Letterman's doing live to tape, or whoever, when they come back, when they say they're going to commercial, they start recording straight away again, right?
Yeah, they do. They take the real time.
Oh, they do take the real time.
They take the real time of the commercial. The band plays their song.
Yeah.
And they time it out, and they come back.
Tim, you need a band for your Shaney B and Tim experience. Because you said it was like TV. You have a house band.
Is that your way of saying that there's something missing?
No, I'm just saying it was a thought I had that a house band would work for that.
Can you get the Vines back together?
The Veins?
Veins, yes.
Well, probably not, because they're all doing other stuff.
Okay. Yeah, they're all offbeat.
The drummer's traveling the country with Anderson East.
Yeah.
Touring all over the world.
What is that? What's Anderson East?
Anderson East is another artist, I believe.
Is there an Anderson West that does the West Coast?
I don't know. No, Anderson East, it's a soulful... It's very retro, but it's good stuff. He's a young kid, but he's got a gravelly voice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very, very soul rock kind of thing.
They do their own stuff?
Yeah. Anderson East. He's pretty talented. And my buddy Darren Dodd is his drummer.
Uh-huh.
He used to be the drummer in the Veins.
Yeah, I was going to say
Dave Cobb is producing everybody in Nashville. He was my guitar player
in the
Veins. That's
right. Yeah. He's
superstar producer Chris Stapleton, Jason Isbell, Sturgill Simpson, Anderson East.
Yeah. Well, does he still talk to you when he comes to town? Or is he like,
never comes,
oh,
he hardly ever comes to town.
So do he treat you like a second-class citizen
now? No,
we chat
on Facebook now and again.
Okay.
And then Greg Lee is the bass player.
Why doesn't he hire you in as an assistant or something? You can make $1 billion with him doing the next...
I think he's making plenty of money.
He's got to spread it around. Right. His old lead singer.
Share the love.
Can't leave the lead singer behind.
And then the bass player plays with Yacht Rock.
Oh, okay.
Greg Lee.
That's a money-making outfit.
Oh, it's huge.
It's like, you'll never run out of money with that Yacht Rock.
No.
I know the musicians are probably like, we wanted to be on our own
Friday
terms.
Friday night, it was lit, I was walking you home.
But
we
you know what? If you're a musician, it's better than having some stupid job.
They sell out,
They
sell out theaters now. They sell out places the size of the Variety Playhouse all over the country.
Yeah. That's crazy to me. Crazy. I guess because you can't, because, I don't know, Hall & Oates, I don't know. Steel Panther.
Yeah, but they have original songs, but it is 80s throwback.
What happened to that 70s-like band that was so big for a minute?
I believe it'll go along.
That guy.
Yeah. What happened to them?
You mean the 80s?
The Darkness.
Here's what happened to them. That album's huge. They put out another album not as huge. Uh-huh. Then turns out he's got a serious, serious drug problem.
Uh-oh.
And,
well, they took that 70s thing too far. Hmm.
Yeah. It was more 80s hair, really.
80s hair, but I felt like it was a 70s vibe. Was I wrong? It was more
it was
than 80s.
Glammy.
I didn't see it as
it was
like
glammy.
Yeah, 80s glam.
I didn't see it as like Poison.
But
you're wrong, Eric.
You're right. It had a harder edge to it than that.
Yeah,
but, like Queen, kind of.
Yeah, I thought it was like
Queen.
To me, it had a Spinal Tap kind of edge to it. You know, anyway, I was watching Monterey Pop Festival on TCM
That's
over the weekend.
A good movie.
Yeah, it is. Except here's the problem. I used to watch it not knowing that the lead singer of the Mamas and Papas was having sex with his own daughter.
Uh-huh.
And now I can't get that out of my head, because John Phillips is Mackenzie Phillips' father, and she was on One Day at a Time, and she had a huge drug problem. And the Monterey Pop Festival was like 1967, right? And American Graffiti is 1972. And Mackenzie Phillips is in that. She's young. She's like 14 or something. So
yeah, but they didn't start having sex until the 70s, mid-70s.
Oh, she was older.
Uh-huh.
Because they were both on drugs.
Yeah.
No. I've been on drugs.
You didn't want to have sex with any family members?
No, it's never occurred to me.
No, I'm not saying that one leads to the other. I'm saying in this case, he was an insane drug addict,
yeah.
And that was part of
it. So when I watch the Monterey Pop Festival, he's not having sex with his children yet.
Not yet.
But I mean, that just really ruins it, because
his wife was still hot.
They had that groovy vibe, you know, that, like, you know, California. You're just like, you're what, trippy, and it's like, oh my god, that guy, he had sex with his daughter. I can't get that out of my head.
Tim just said that's not an excuse, Tim. He said, yeah, because his wife was still hot.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I don't care if your wife's the most ugly woman in the room. You're not having sex with your kid.
There's something called divorce. And you're still kind of a rock star.
And there's
so.
Other adults in the world.
I don't know. I don't judge.
And then also, see, before, when it comes to incest, I judge.
Yeah.
I got to admit.
I'm judging right out the box on that one.
But before I knew that piece of information, that guy eventually would start having sex with his own daughter, I would watch them and think, you know, I can't get past the irony of Cass Elliot if she actually choked on a sandwich. I mean, is that true? Has that been snoped?
She had a heart attack while she was choking.
But while she was choking on a sandwich. And she was big, man. Yeah. You watch Monterey Pop. How old is she there? 26 or something? Or
maybe younger than that.
I mean, she's just wearing a tent. She really is. Like Orson Welles.
Well, you can rent them. They're easy to rent. The marquees,
right.
You know.
Like Orson Welles at the end.
She's wearing a muumuu.
Yeah.
I don't think that she choked on a sandwich. I think she choked on her own vomit.
No, that's John Bonham.
I think a lot of them choked on their own vomit because they were on drugs.
Before you were born, I remember when Cass Elliot died. It was like 1973 or 4 or somewhere in there. And the story was that she choked on a sandwich. Because rock stars.
A joke.
Rock stars were who choked on their vomit were known for that.
Right.
Like John Bonham. What is it? Did you tell me today, because of your rock stuff, that John Bonham died today? This is the anniversary?
1980, this day in rock history. He was 32.
Yeah.
He had been drinking at Jimmy Page's house the night before.
Uh-huh.
Ended up off crashing, going to sleep.
Yeah.
And he never woke up because he asphyxiated on his own vomit.
Now, and you told me how many drinks had he had?
He had drank, in 4 hours that evening, he drank the equivalent of 40 shots of alcohol.
Now, here's the thing.
Hardcore alcohol.
Some of my friends at the time said that he deserved it for making us all sit through the drum solo in Moby Dick.
That's not true.
Awesome. I don't agree with that.
I think he's the best drummer ever put on the planet, in my opinion. Best
better than Keith Moon?
Yes, absolutely.
Another drummer who died
technically better than Keith.
Choked on his own vomit.
Here's how she died. She died in her sleep at 32 years of age.
32
in a London flat, and her death was due to heart failure, due to fatty myocardial degeneration, due to obesity, and she'd been doing drugs.
Yeah.
But there were no drugs in her system that night.
Unless you consider food a drug.
Right.
Well, I saw on Snopes that it was a drug overdose and that she was 33, so.
No, she was born September 19th, 1941. She died July 29th, 1974. So she was going to be 33 that year.
So she was California dreaming when she...
One of her heart muscles turned to fat.
Ooh. Oh, my goodness.
She was twice as big as...
Your heart muscles don't turn to fat.
The oft-repeated urban legend is that Elliot choked to death on a ham sandwich. The story spread soon after the discovery of her body, the BS website of her body, and was based on speculation in the initial media. A 2014 article in Haaretz identified the person who started the false rumor as follows.
Okay. So that was not... She didn't choke on a ham sandwich.
No, she died from being fat.
What do you care about the age? What is it? 32 or 33?
Accuracy desk.
Yes.
Wikipedia is not real.
He's actually confirming 90% of what you said, that she did not die of choking on a ham sandwich.
Okay,
and
but
you
she did
are
not...
choosing to get hung up on the year of her death. Who cares?
Okay, now I'm not hung up on that anymore. Now I'm hung up on this, your heart turning to fat, which does not exist.
How do you, what
your
do,
heart,
where did you
because
get your
medical
license?
Because your heart doesn't turn to fat. Your heart is pure muscle. True. It gets bigger when you're so big because it has to... Like, it has to work harder to pump
blood. It said in the article,
blood.
A doctor said part of the muscle had turned to fat.
What doctor?
Dr. Doolittle. And he talks to the animals.
He says little science.
And Mama Cass's heart.
Wow, she's really taking this hard. This Cass Elliot thing. What, did you really care about her in some way?
I am Cass Elliot.
Did you like their songs, The Mamas and the Papas?
I do. I sing a song to Elliot. Star shining bright above.
I don't really know their music except for
California Dreamin'.
Seem to whisper, I love you.
I know another one.
Is that Mamas and Papas?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I don't know that one you were singing. I know.
Dream a little dream of me.
What do I know? I know California Dreamin' and... Is All the Leaves Are Brown? Is that California Dream?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the same song.
Do you know, Everybody's Getting Fat Except Mama Cass?
No, I don't
that's
know.
That's a great, yeah, you know that song.
Maybe I do if I heard it.
Mugwumps, bump, 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 bump.
You know what,
that really nailed
it. Yeah, yeah. It was like I was at Monterey Pop for a moment.
Joan and Mitchie were getting kind of itchy to leave the folk music behind.
But what about Monday, Monday?
Okay, I know that.
Don't forget.
This is dedicated to the one I love.
I'm sure I know all these if I hear
the
them.
The song that Mick Jagger and David Bowie do at.
Oh, yeah.
That was theirs, too.
That wasn't theirs.
Dancing in the street.
No, it wasn't.
Yes,
no,
it was.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
Maybe not originally.
They did it.
Marvin Gaye wrote it. You're
it was
right.
A Motown hit,
Marvin
right?
Gaye.
What about I Saw Her Again last night?
All right, hold on one second. Marvin Gaye may have wrote it, but the first hit of
Martha
Dancing,
and the Vandellas.
Thank you.
And then it went, and then Van Halen. And then David Bowie, Mick Jagger, and Mamas and the Papas.
That video, man. Ooh.
I hated disco so much in the 70s that I didn't like Van Halen for a while because the word dancing was in one of their songs.
Really?
That's what a jerk I was.
Wow.
I hated disco.
You're burning the LPs?
Disco.
Yeah. What does that mean, burning the LPs?
Well, remember they used to burn disco records at certain
events. I never went that far.
Like you're working hard, Aubin, burning the LPs.
Yeah, I was... I was kind of torn by Saturday Night Fever because me and my buddy went, the same one buddy that I snuck out of Piccadilly with.
Ooh, troublemaker.
Yeah, we were horrible people at the time. And what was I talking about?
Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah.
Once
a show. No, it made it difficult that I... Except we kept going back to see Saturday Night Fever because not only were we in the same mall after we ate for free at Piccadilly and ran away.
You snuck
we
in.
Would, yeah, well, we wouldn't sneak in. We would pay for one movie. Then
and
we'd
then stay
there
all day.
Stay all day, go from theater to theater. And we kept seeing Saturday Night Fever because we loved the story and everything. And then I ended up kind of liking some of the songs. And so by the time that guy was blowing up the disco records... I was like, I kind of like a little, you know. If I can't have you,
I saw.
Oh, that's the best,
Yvonne Ellerman.
I liked Night Fever too. Now that's a commercial for a restaurant.
What restaurant?
I don't know, like
Piccadilly.
Not Piccadilly.
Wouldn't that be great?
One of those Red Robins or what? I don't know, but it's they're showing the steaks and stuff, and or maybe it's a grilling commercial. I don't know, but it's like
you
the
are
Night
insane.
Fever. Night Fever. Also, More Than a Woman, I thought was a very good
more
song.
Than a woman.
And you, who,
more than a woman.
And who can
to
deny
me.
That it's always it
Sunny
always
in Philadelphia
perks you up when you hear the song "Staying Alive."
It's a great song.
Every rock band had to come out with their disco-influenced hit.
Rolling Stones.
Kiss. The Dead.
What was the Dead one?
Shakedown Street.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the whole thing... Now, was the whole album... Because what the Stones did is they just had one really huge hit, and then the rest of the album was basically a Stones album.
No, the whole album isn't like that, but that song is definitely disco-influenced. And Kiss had... Double platinum. Where they had that disco. I was made for loving
you, baby. That's right.
Now, was that successful? Did they play that in discotheques?
I don't know. I wasn't around.
Was that when they weren't wearing makeup?
No, they had makeup, on still.
Oh, this is before they dropped the makeup.
Yeah, it starts out. Ba-da-da. I will
I want
to
lay it all on you. Boy, how much do they hate that drummer that he had their biggest hit and they fired him?
They fired him. He quit.
If you go see him now, does the guy who plays the Catman still sing Beth, or does somebody else take over the vocals?
I can't remember what
they
got
to play it, right? It's one of their biggest hits.
Yeah.
I can't remember
his
if he
best
does
song
it.
Is Hard Luck Woman. That's better than Beth.
I know, but I mean, it doesn't matter. What's his name? I'm blanking. I met Peter Criss when I first went out there. Yeah, he was a real burnout.
Yeah.
I met him at one of the first functions we did for 2 weeks into being in Los Angeles, 95. Went to some sort of, I can't remember, it was a charity for musicians' health, whatever. But Peter Criss was there. And Brian Beach Boys.
Wilson?
Brian Wilson was there.
Wow. You met him?
It was huge.
Yeah.
It was huge.
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 Huge. He's so fat.
But Peter Criss talked to me for a long time, and it was... He was great. He had a lot of pock marks, so I identified with him.
Yeah.
Because I was, oh, wow, man, that guy from KISS had the same things going that I did as a teenager.
You remember in the early 90s when
he's a burnout, though.
Roseanne and Tom Arnold were tricked by a homeless guy who said he was Peter Criss?
I don't remember.
No?
And they're like, we got to help this guy, man. It's Peter Criss. We found him underneath the boardwalk. And then Peter Criss came out, that isn't me.
Hey, man, that isn't me. I'm talking to Eric over at the Music Society thing, man.
My skin problem.
It was in the Enquirer. Here's all. We've got to save him, man.
But he was like, I can't remember what he was saying to me, but he was like dogging Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons.
Well, that's all right. I don't care. Screw him.
I can't remember what it was.
He's ugly.
Well, now, well, you guys, I mean, Gene Simmons says it's because of drugs.
Yeah, because Gene's a teetotaler.
Paul's never done drugs either. Has he just done?
Listen, I'm high on life.
Okay.
And women.
Yeah.
Babes everywhere.
Way more women than life.
Oh, yeah.
And art, too. He's got a new art exhibition he's been touting
recently.
Oh, yeah,
I got paintings.
Paintings.
How much time?
30 seconds.
All right, well, that's enough time for me to say...
Can I stand for the last part
stand,
of the show?
Stand! Right.
I'm kneeling.
I'm going to stand. Opposite of...
Kevin kneeling.
Oh,
disrespectful.
Canada.
All right, I guess about now I have to tell people to get off my lawn, and we'll see them tomorrow.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.